Okay, so the last few weeks we did, how should I put it, very complicated. But now we're going to do a few little lighter things. The first one I think we actually did, I was trying to find the source sheet with it. These are probably very similar to the course we did then, but it's been, I think it was also one of the first things we did about 3 years ago. So it's worth going over. Okay, so
do we get a test before you leave?
No. No. Rav Chaim used to offer voluntary tests with no grades, and they were still, people were like, were terrified for like, you know, months, because, you know, he would just like, you know, he would check it and he would like critique your svaras. He didn't do that when I was in Shir. Let's go back to the Mishnah, and then we'll take up, I put a few of the smaller points there, and the same for next week, which takes us through Chaf Yamed Beis. But let's go back to the Mishnah, just to orient ourselves again. So the Mishnah on Chaf Yamed Aleph, it said, Behema misukenes lo yeshchot ela im ken yeshus b'yom lecho mimenu kizayis tzli. So an animal which is in danger, so you're worried it's going to die, and if it dies, it's nevela, it's not kosher. So you want to shecht it, because if you shecht it, then at least you get the meat. So the Gemara says you aren't allowed to shecht it unless there's time during the day to eat a kizayis of it roasted, roasted as opposed to salted and cooked. Right? I mean, the Gemara is saying that even if, you know, it's 5 minutes before Yom Tov is over, and you wouldn't even have time to make it kosher by salting it, right? But Mi'ikra Adin, you don't have to salt meat that you're going to roast. Or if you take fresh meat and you roast it, and the blood drips out, then you don't need to salt it. So the Gemara says, even if you're going to roast it, and you have time to do that, so that's sufficient. And that's considered a whole nefesh. Even though you're only having kazayas of the whole animal, it doesn't matter. As we've seen before, it's impossible to have a kazayas of the meat without shechting the whole thing, and therefore it's fine. Rabbi Kiva goes farther. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afil kazayas chaimi beis tvi chasa. Even if you don't even have time to roast it, you only have time to eat it raw. That's fine too, right? You have 30 seconds, enough time to eat a kazayas. Now, whether you actually have to eat it, or you can plan to eat it and not eat it, is a machlokas, but that's what the Gemara says. Shachta b'sade lo yivene b'motav b'motav mevi b'yado yivar mevar. If you shachta out in the field, now you want to bring it back, so don't bring it with on a pole, but bring it piece by piece. Right, and Rashi tells you the reason is because of Zilzal Yom Tov, right? It says, Bishnei b'nei Adam, Mishum da'avshem milsim zalzal b'yom Tov, right? If you have two people holding the animal on a pole, so it is an embarrassment. Now, what the Mefarshim note here is that the Chiddush here is that even though, right, really, you have two things that could be mezalzel b'yom tov. One is the act of carrying the the dead animal on a pole, which is a very weekday activity, or tircha, right? Because by saying you aren't allowed to carry the animal back in one shot, we're telling you that you have to schlep, you know, in small pieces and walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So you might have thought that the quantity of just walking back and forth is more of a problem with the kavod of Yom Tov. The Mishnah tells you, Gemara, it's not true. Right? We'd rather you do a few leisurely trips back and forth with limb by limb than go there schlepping it on your back with the pole, which is more of a frontal assault on the spirit of Yom Tov. Okay. So, the first point on the sources here is the Mishnah says something. Now, this is really the main sugya. We brought it up briefly, like I said, almost 3 years ago, but the main Mishnah is really here. The Mishnah tells you that you need to have time to eat a kazayas. Now, the question that the Mefarshim want to know is that literal? Right? Meaning, does it really mean kazayas, or is it just saying kazayas? Like, that's the normal amount you eat. What if you didn't want to have a kazayas? You want to have half a kazayas. Or to put it differently, let's leave this case aside. Let's take a normal case.
Which is objective, right? Or subjective, I guess. That's the question.
Well, meaning whether you need a formal act of achila as recognized in the rest of the Torah, or you just need, you know, hana, you just need to be eating something. Or to frame it differently, right? Let's say, forget this unique case. Let's just take a normal case of Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov because it's called Ochel Nefesh, right? Anything you're allowed to eat, Ach Asher Ochel Ochel Nefesh Levad Yisrael Lechem. Now, normally in Torah, Achila means Kezayis. So what happens? I don't want to eat a Kezayis, right? I want to have a chocolate-covered blueberry, right? Which is, okay, I'm not even getting into how big Kezayis is, right? Let's assume not a normal olive, right? So you want a chocolate-covered blueberry. One, right? One. So you are going to cook. You're going to heat up just enough chocolate, right, to cover one blueberry. How much is that, right? That's presumably less than an olive, even if you think that a kezayis is actually an olive size. So are you allowed to do that? Or is that not called achila because it's less than a kezayis? Or do you say no, right? This isn't, I don't know, this isn't basar b'chalav, where you need to have a kezayis in order to get malchus. You want to have a chocolate-covered blueberry. You don't want more. You're on a diet, right? This is your treat for a dessert. You know that if you cook extra chocolate, you'll end up eating it all, right? You don't have the self-control. So you want to take, you know, one, I don't know, one block of Hershey's chocolate, melt it down, and put one blueberry in it. Fine, that's what you want to do. Right? Are you allowed to do that? Do you need a kezayis for it to be counted as achila, such that you can then waive the iser of bishul and allow cooking on Yom Tov? So that's the question that comes up from this Mishnah, figuring out, because the simple reason of the Mishnah would be yes, right? You actually need a kezayis, because it says it's only called ochel nefesh, such that I can justify shechting this animal if I have time to eat a kezayis. Why kezayis? Just say, if you have time to eat, right? Why kezayis? So again, doesn't mean it literally, right? Until you get kezayis. It's not called eating, and if it's not called eating, then it isn't legitimate to violate a malacha for it on Yom Tov. Or do you say no? Right? Kezayis is true in Isurin, it's true in eating matzah, in mitzvos, but in Yom Tov, the relevant thing isn't, am I formally doing something which counts eating? The question is, am I eating? Am I consuming? Yes or no? And the answer is, yes, a chocolate blueberry is consuming. Now, as we'll see, what this hangs on is a few things, right? This is going to hang on, first of all, how do we understand the need for kezayis in general in certain places in Shas, in Halacha, rather. Is it that the reason you don't get malchus if you have non-kosher food less than kezayis, is that because it's not called eating? Right? It's not eating at all, or it's just that, no, you are eating treif, it's just that the Torah hasn't, right, it doesn't incur malchus until you reach a certain amount, right? It's illegal without a punishment, right? But it really is eating, or is not eating at all, right? Anything less than a kezayis is not eating at all. Now we'll see, chatzi shir asur min haTorah. It is true that we paskin that half volumes are also prohibited, but that could be for one of two reasons. As Reb Lichtenstein put it, when I was in Shir with him, but I think I'm pretty sure it's from the Rav, right? Ganak told me it's also from the Rav, is when we say that Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, that having half of an amount, right, half of a kezayis of pig is still prohibited, you just don't get malchus, is that, what is are you violating? Is it pig minus, right? It's just pig, but without enough to get malchus? Or it's like some generic prohibition. Don't do things that if you would do them in their full amount would be usur. It's not pig. Less than a kezayis is not pig at all. It's not called eating pig. It's just like there's a general thing that in addition to the Torah, all the formal prohibitions, God said, look, I don't want you to like test the limits. I don't want you to say, you know, you didn't want me to eat pig, but I'm not having pig. I'm having a little bit of pig. Right? God said that's just, you know, chutzpah. It's not eating pig in a chanami, but it's still a more generic prohibition. So that's what we need to see here. So if you look at the first source, just Shulchan Aruch tells you, Behema misukena sheyarei shem etamos. Right? If you have this animal who's sick and you're worried he's going to die, v'hu achal kvar ve'ein sarach la, you already ate, you don't really need to eat again. Asher l'shachta el ken yeshus b'yom kedei lechom menekezayit slimi b'od yom. You aren't allowed to shech the animal unless there's time to eat a kezayit roasted. Even if there isn't time to flay it and to check it first, and that was what we discussed the last 2 weeks, is why you don't have to flay it and check the animal for problems. But if there is time, and you did shechtet, eino notel l'orem, can you shir menu eiver echad m'viyimo, you can't take the flesh, the hide, the skin, unless there's still meat on it. Some say you shouldn't flay it or skin it at all. Unless you actually did it for Yom Tov, and that's what you should do. Fine. Shochar quotes this Kazayas. He doesn't tell you whether he means it, you know, Dafka Kazayas, or just quoting the lashon of the Mishnah. But that's the halacha. Okay.
But in all the cases that we've worked before, or in the cases I remember that we've worked before, it's a case of a Rama where you don't really need it, and they're being lenient and saying, if you do it for Kazayit, you're allowed to do it, which is sort of the opposite of the other case we were talking about, when you're chayav of doing something if you're only cooking Kazayit. They're doing this to be as a leniency, not as a...
Correct, they're doing it as a leniency, but it still may, even with haramas, sometimes we have standards, right? And it needs to... Now, how much of, before we get to the Kazayas point, your point, how much of harama is this, right? Meaning there's two ways to look at this harama. One is, I'm really full, but if I push myself to eat, so then I'm allowed to shech the animal. It's a quasi-harama, meaning I'm pushing myself to eat, but in the end I'm eating, right? Or do we say he doesn't even need to eat? It's a pure harama, meaning if there's time to eat, even if you have no intention on actually eating, which is it? So if you look at the next sources, I forgot to put that first. I thought I'd put it after, but I put that first. So the Rivash says, the Rivash takes the more harama-esque approach. He says, you don't even really need to eat it at all. When we say you need enough time, why do you need enough time? Not because you're planning on eating it, but because of a different rule that we learned also a long time ago of Ho'il. The Gemara in Psachim says that as long as there's theoretically time for a guest to show up and eat it, so then it's mutter, at least midaraisa. And that's what he says. He says, therefore, here, that's what we're doing. We're invoking Ho'il. It's a pure harama. You're not actually going to eat it at all. If there's time to eat it, so then you can invoke Ho'il, which gets into the question of Ho'il. Do you actually need the time? That was something we discussed at Ho'il. But he assumes it's a pure harama. That Rivar says it. And two, afal pishena ochel, even if you're not going to eat it. The cheven chain sarech. Ein chelok bin ochel chain ochel. You don't really need it, right? That's what we said. You're already full. So there's no difference if you can eat it, not eat it. Aval behema bria vadai. Usher, but he said, this harama, right, that we let you shecht an animal, even though you're not going to eat it at all, just because you theoretically have enough time, that's only because it's dying. And if you wait till after Yontif, you're going to lose the whole animal. But a healthy animal, we would never let you do this type of harama. Even though you wouldn't get malchus because of Ho'il, because theoretically you could eat it, Malkus who the lack of almas. You won't get punished, but you shouldn't do it. But it's not biblical. So as we saw, this was a particular trend in poskim then. But the Rivash says, look, it's very simple. Ho'il tells you that if I could theoretically eat it, then it's not daraisa, even if I don't eat it. It's only derabbanan. Therefore, if it's a healthy animal and you don't want to eat the animal at all, so then we're not going to let you shecht it, because it's an issur d'rabbanan. But if you're going to lose the whole animal if you don't shecht it, because it's dying, so then you're allowed to shecht it as long as theoretically there's time to eat it, because then you can invoke Ho'il. But you don't actually have to eat it. It's a pure harama.
How does the hefset mamon feature here when it comes to rabbanan?
So that was, if you remember, we did like 2 weeks on harama a long time ago.
Right.
And one of the things we should note is we don't normally like haramot. But one of the times we allow haramot, right? We allow circumventing the spirit of the law, let's say. Let's put it that way. That oversimplifies it. Is if there's a real cost, right? If not letting you do it, there's a real cost. So then sometimes we say, okay, fine. You know, look, you know, so we don't normally want you to do things that are not in the spirit of the law, but...
So is that the Ravash and Svar?
And that's how the Ravash understands the sugya. Yeah, and the Rajba says it more explicitly.
Yeah, otherwise, why would the Mishnah... Why wouldn't the mission just say take any animal and you just have a short time before?
So right. So what the Rivash is saying, look, any other animal, if I actually want to eat it, right? What's implied by the Rivash is that if there's any animal, if I actually want to eat it, right? Meaning, let's say I'm super wealthy, right? I don't care. So I'll shech the $3,000 cow because I want one kazayas to roast. Fine, you want to do that, but you really want to eat it, not like. If it's not a joke, right, it's not fake, so then it's always permitted. The only time that we rely on this ho-il is when you don't really want to eat it.
My question is, like, how can you understand the Mishnah without it otherwise? I mean, otherwise, why is the Mishnah talking about a sick animal?
Oh, no, for sure. But you could have said that...
I know there's the part about whether it's just a rama, whether you're able to eat it or not.
Right.
But then there's also the part about whether... it's only for a sick animal, or is it also mean for...
Oh, right. So the way the Rivash understands this is that it's a harama case, and therefore it's only true of the sick animal, right? You could have said, look, the Gemara is just telling you the most likely case, right? The same thing is true of a healthy animal, but who's going to shech the healthy animal just because they want a kazayas? No one's going to do that.
But does he...
Right, they're saying...
Yeah, sorry.
Right, but they're just saying, like, you know, it's true about healthy animal too, but it's never going to happen. Right, who's going to shaft a $3,000 animal for a single kazayas? They don't want to eat the rest,
no,
right?
You can have it later.
Correct, but when you don't have refrigeration, you don't do that, right? You don't. It's not normal, right? Nowadays, sure, you shaft an animal because you're going to put the rest, you're going to freeze it anyways, like, you know, it's fine or whatever. Then, you know, unless you need the animal, you're not going to, you know, the... I assume that's how other people would read it.
But he's using the Rama first to determine that it's a Rabbanan, and then saying because it's a Rabbanan.
Right, he assumes the problem is only the Rabbanan, and therefore Chazal allow our Rama because of Hefsid.
Does anybody hold it to Dereisa?
Yeah, meaning in Ho'il we talked about the possibility that you don't get Malkus, but it's also Midaraisa. The Rivash says it's Midarabbanan.
Okay.
Yes, his Shita depends on holding the Rabbanan.
Right.
The Magen Avraham follows this as well. Mm-hmm. And number three, he says, Achar shetetze nafsha, etc. Vafilin ochel menashari. Even if
he doesn't eat,
right? Even if you don't eat it, right? Like the Rivash, it's true. It's a Magen Mishnah, Yamshel Shlomo. Now the Magen Avraham does note in number four that there are those who are a bit more machmir. I mean, he wrote the mashma the danakama modal the Rabbi Kiva bazeh rather the ein zarch b'dika etc. Kedisim gemara. But oh, the hakaz of Ramad also have shita. I will be yam shol shlomo pasak the tzarch sheishus lechol achar hefshed vini tuach veino muchrach. The yam shol shlomo is a bit more machmir. He also doesn't need you to eat it, but he needs not just the time to eat it, but the time to eat it. If you flay it and cut it up and examine it, you do need like the few more minutes. You don't actually have to eat it, but now others would say, no, you actually have to eat it. But you look, la halacha, the Magen Avraham assumes this is a pure harama like the Rivash. Okay. But so now the second point, why kazayas? And this is the Gilyon HaShas's question. I didn't give you the Gilyon HaShas, but the Gilyon HaShas said, I don't get it. Right? Why kazayas? Whether you say it's enough time to eat it or you actually have to eat it. Either way, the assumption seems to be kazayas. But why should you need kazayas? Right? Meaning, again, I understand that you don't get malchus if you eat less than a kazayas of pig. But what does that have to do with ochel nefesh? In the end of the day, you want to have a blueberry, you know, you want to have a single blueberry. Let's have a single blueberry. Why is that any less ochel nefesh? What's his proof? So he says, look at six. It's a machlokes, whether chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, whether half an amount is asur biblically. And we say it is. Right? He says, gufa, chatzi shir, Rabbi Yochanan omer asur min haTorah, Rish Lakish omer mutter min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says, half, because I said pig, is biblically prohibited. You just don't get malchus. Rish Lakish says, it's permitted. Rabbi Yochanan omer asur min haTorah, kevin de chazi li tzarufe yisarik achar. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll prove it to you. Because if you ate more of it, you would get malchus, which means that it's halachically recognized as eating. Rish Lakish Amar Mutter Min HaTorah Achilor Amar Achmona V'Leka. Rish Lakish says, no, the Torah said eat, and less than a kazayas of eating is not eating at all. Eisver B'Yochon L'Rish Lakish Ein Leila She Yeshno Ba'Onesh Yeshno Ba'Azhara Kvi V'Chatzi Shirho V'Eno Neshel Yochol Eino Ba'Azhara Talmud Lomar Kol Chelef. See, B'Yochon says, what are you talking about? The pasuk says, "Kol chelev," from which I derive that you don't. It's not only usher to do something that you're going to get punished for. It's usher to have a kvi, which is a suffix, right? The chelev of a kvi, which is a suffix behema suffix chaya. You can't have a chatzis shir. You're going to have half a gazayas, because the pasuk says, "Kol chelev." So Rish Lakish retorts, "Mean the rabbanon across machta ba'alma." No, that's only rabbinic, and the pasuk is only as machta. But you have this machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, and we passed in like Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gilyon HaShas says, I don't understand this whole thing. If you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's biblically prohibited to eat half of a kazayas of pig, doesn't that show you that even though you don't get malchus for it, it is called eating? It's achila. I mean, isn't that the machlokas, right? Rish Lakish says, achila marachmana veleka, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it is achila, it's just lesser of an achila, it's just less an amount.
Maybe the mission
now, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, but, I mean, you could say the mission doesn't paskin like that, you could. Now, as I mentioned before, what Rabbi Lichtenstein noted on this is that the Gilyon HaShas is taking a very specific perspective here, namely, that Reish Lakish thinks that a kezias is eating and less than a kezias is not eating. And since we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that it's usur biblically to eat half a kezias of pig, we must hold that less than a kezias is also called eating. But that's not clear, because there are two drashot, right? There are two drashot that Rabbi Yochanan gives. And Rabbi Lichtenstein notes that the implication of the two drashot are actually different. One is kol chelev. Right? What does kol chelev imply? Right? Reish Lakish, the second drasha of Rabbi Yochanan is, it's usher to even have half of a kezias of forbidden fat. Why? Because the Torah says kol chelev. What does kol chelev imply? Right? Kol chelev implies, it's not really chelev, right? It's just like, it's something, right? Even if it's not, right? It's something. Other way around. It's kol chel. Well, there's two limudim, right? One is chazi l'starufe, right? One is just a logic. Namely, if half a kezias of chelev plus half a kezias of chelev would give me malchus, then half a kezias of chelev must be halachically recognizable. The second one is kol chelev, right? It's something. It's not chelev, but it's something like chelev. So Lichtenstein suggested that these might be the two different limudim, right? It could be that chazilit tarufe tells you that it really is eating, right? What's Rabbi Yochanan's first svara? If I eat half a kezias of pig, and then I eat another half kezias of pig, then I get malchus, that must mean that the first half kezias of pig that I ate was called eating, because otherwise, every time I would have half a kezias, it would disappear, and then I'd have another half, and it would disappear halachically, right? I mean, Chazi l'starufe, the fact that when I have the whole thing, I'm going to violate, that tells me that half of it must be called eating it also, because otherwise it would be 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0, which will always be 0. But if half plus half equals 1, that must mean that half is a half and not 0. Right? Kol chelev sounds different. Kol chelev sounds like, no, it's not really chelev, it's just like similar to, right? It's like anything like chelev. Now, you could push back on this, right? And you could say, no, kol chelev means it is chelev. It is chelev, right? And chazi l'starufe is a gzeira d'oraisa, right? You could flip it the other way. So the drasher is not mochrach, but the svara is still true, right? That there's two ways of taking Rabbi Yochanan, right? One way of taking Rabbi Yochanan, however you want to get it out of the drush out, is that the why is half a kezias biblically prohibited? Because it's just eating. It's just not enough. The other possibility is to say, no, it's not. It's just rebellion, right? You know, it's, you know, like you tell your kid, right, don't get out of bed, right? Stay in bed at bedtime. So they don't get out of bed, right? They, like, balance on their hands, right, and, like, do a handstand, and their feet are, like, they're not off the bed, but they're doing it just to spite you. They're not violating, they're not off the bed, but it makes you mad anyways, right? So which is chatzi shir, right? It's chatzi shir, it's an achil, it's just not enough, right? Or is it, no, it's just rebellion, right? God says, don't test me, right? Don't make me annoyed for no reason. I get it, it's not, you're not off the bed, but you're doing this to annoy me. So that may depend on this. If you think that really half of a kezias is 0.5. So then look, I won't give you malchus till you do 0.5 plus 0.5, which equals 1. But for ochel nefesh, who cares? Ochel nefesh, you don't need a shear, you just need to eat. And if 0.5 is called eating, then 0.5 is called eating. So if you want half a kezias, eat half a kezias, have your blueberry. But if you say that no, less than a kezias is absolutely nothing, so why is it usser? It's usser because I'm testing God, I'm angering God, but I'm not, right? I'm not eating. It's not called eating until I get to 1. right? 0.5 is really zero. So then maybe if I only want to, you know, cook my blueberry, that doesn't count. That's zero. And therefore it'd be prohibited for ochel nefesh.
So that's like a siyag?
Yeah, like a...
But it's a deraisa.
I mean, you can have siyag deraisa. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel's argument. Right. You can have a siyag deraisa. And here the Sharma Mitzvah Bahalacha says, well, maybe, you know, you could have... Right, Rabbi Yosef Engel explicitly says that chatzi shir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, may be a gzeira d'areisa. That God Himself, right, said, "I'm going to biblically set up a gzeira, which will prevent you from getting to a worse problem." Right, I won't let you have half a gzeira of pigs; you might eat a whole gzeira of pig. So the Shar Mitzvah B'Halacha says maybe what the Gemara is telling you here is the same thing: is that if we tell you that you're not allowed to cook a blueberry, right? Then that'll prevent you from cooking chocolate for no reason at all, right? Meaning, if we tell you you're allowed to heat up the chocolate, right, even for a single blueberry, the next week, you know, you're going to realize you didn't lose the weight you wanted, even having your single chocolate blueberry. So next week it's going to be a quarter, or it's going to be half a blueberry, right? And the week after that is going to be the eighth of a blueberry. And at some point, right, you're just going to be lighting the fire and pretending you're putting chocolate right in it. Right, you know, you're putting the scent of chocolate over it to make yourself feel good, right? But you're just lighting a flame for no reason, right? At some point, if we don't say, look, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov unless you're doing something which is significant, then, you know, each week it's just going to get to the point where you're cooking less and less until you're cooking, you know, you're doing nothing, right? You're on a diet at this point, so you're going to heat up your one square of chocolate, and then you're never going to eat it, right? I'm going to heat it up so I can smell it, right? I won't touch it, I'll, you know, whatever. So I don't know if that's convincing or not, but that's what he suggests. Now, Rabbi Ovadia, in 8, has a very nice, extensive, this is a small portion of the Tshuva, an extensive discussion on this. But he notes that there's two, he brings in other issues. So I'm going to throw some of them out, and then we'll sort of skip around in the Tshuva. He points out that ostensibly, this Shaila, there's two components to this Shaila. One is Kezias. But the Gemara in many places also suggests that achila gasa, right, overeating, is also lo shmei achila. For certain purposes, overeating doesn't count. Now, therefore the Gemara says if you overeat on Yom Kippur, right, meaning you are already full, right, before Yom Kippur, and then you eat more at the beginning of Yom Kippur, I'm going to take the oversimplified version of this sugya, it's not, you don't violate. You don't violate Yom Kippur. Because achila gasa doesn't count. If you have Karban Pesach, when you're already full, it doesn't count, right? When we say al hasova, we mean that the Karban Pesach should get you to satiation, not beyond satiation. Now, Rabbeinu Tam suggests there's really two levels of achila gasa, because some sugyot imply achila gasa is achila. So he says it depends. Is it just more than you should be eating, or is it so much that it hurts, right? Those are the two levels, right? Sometimes you just, you know, you're full, but you eat a little bit more. And sometimes you're overstuffed and you just keep stuffing it and, you know, you're nauseous by that point. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam says level 1 is still eating. Level 2 is not eating anymore. It's mazik. You're just damaging yourself. But he says in our sugya, right, how does Shulchan Aruch understand it? Shulchan Aruch says, what's the chiddush here? The chiddush is that even if you're full, as long as there's time to eat a little bit, so then you're allowed to cook it. But what does that imply? That even though you're full, you would be allowed to cook. You're allowed to eat. So he says, really you have to ask the Shaila twice, right? Because achila gasa is another one of those things that sometimes it seems like it counts as eating, and sometimes it seems like it counts as not eating. So are you allowed to cook on Yom, on right? Yeah, right? This is a great diet, right? On Yom Tov, if you pasken achila gasa lo shmei achila, you'll say, look, once you're full, you're no longer allowed to cook, right? Because anything you eat now is not called eating. So he said, what about that one? So he says, in each case, what you need to ask is two things, right? One is, does achila on Yom Tov really need a formal eating, right, or not? Does it need an achila? And you have to ask, when we say that half a kezias is not an achila, or achila gas isn't an achila, what do we mean? It's not eating at all? Right, it's like magic. It's not eating at all. Or are we saying for certain areas of halacha, it's not eating? Right, for mitzvot, you have to eat them, not in a state of achila gasa. It's not that it's not eating. It's not eating for certain purposes. But then maybe for this purpose, It is eating. So Ravadya takes this up in 8.
So you're talking about cooking after you're already
full. Well, that's what Shulchan Aruch said, right? Right. That was number one.
But that's
right?
What Rav Avadya Yosef is talking about.
Yeah, he's following. Correct. Right, he's following. These are the two questions he wants to ask here. So he says, "Amati vet bonen b'sveiko shel agon mari al pandari b'sefer mutzalmei eish chelik bet bedin mishe yosavei machilato uvi shel b'yom tov." I automatically switched to Sfaradi when I was reading Avadya. Whatever. Fine. So the mutzalmei eish asked, if someone's already full when he's eating and he cooks on Yom Tov, va'achal chilagasa, right, and then he eats gluttonously, ha'im asab iser bazeolo, right? Is that asr on Yom Tov? Did he violate Yom Tov because the eating he did was now not halachically recognized because it was a chilagasa? V'kasav l'shot tzveikom masha amru b'psachim ha'ofim Yom Tov l'chol r'chist omar loka rabba omar ina loka hol miklo le'orchim. So he said, well, the Gemara in Pesachim says that you don't get Malkus if you cook on Yom Tov, if guests could come because of Hoel. Vim isa da achila gasa chashiva achila linyan zeh. If overeating counted as eating, so have lele meimar hol vivay achila achila gasa. Right? This is how he reads the sugya. He says, why does the Gemara in Pesachim say that even after I've eaten my meal, if I cook, I don't get malchus because a guest might show up? Why doesn't he just say that even if you already ate, you'll keep eating? So he says, because if you already ate and you're full, you can't say I'm allowed to cook for myself. You're not. Because at that point, overstuffing yourself doesn't count as food anymore. Right? That gluttony, right? The Torah doesn't like gluttony, and therefore if you're already full, you can't cook for yourself.
It's not Simchas Yom Tov anymore.
Well, it's beyond not Simchas Yom Tov. It's not even Achila. Right? That's the position he's taking. And then he points to our Gemara, right, that says if you have this animal who's dying, you can't shecht it unless you keep it kazayas. Bishlam li di amrin and hoel. So if you say hoel, fine, achanami hoel, vi e boy le mechal matzi acham ishomachi yishchot. So, but if you don't say hol, why you let it shecht it? So, Mishum hefsed mamono gomer belibo lechol kezayis. So he says now, the mutzal me'esh, unlike the Magen Avraham, right, that we saw before, says no. When the Gemara says you need time to eat it, it doesn't mean theoretically. It means you actually need to plan to eat it, right? And he says, okay, you're actually planning to eat it. The efsher kezayis. Basar below shchita, and you can't have the kazayas without shechting. That's why it's permitted. Beis Rashi Mishum Hefsed Mamono. V'yodeh shvein muter below achila. He knows that it's not muter without eating, which again implies that Rashi would argue on the Rivash, right? That Rashi would require actual eating. So bish lama. One second. I just lost my place. Sorry. So you have in mind that you're going to force yourself to eat. And for that kazayis, you're going to eat it. And since you can't have a kazayis without shechting it, so then you have to shecht it. If you're shechting for, if you're cooking for after yontif, so you didn't have in mind to eat, to force yourself to eat. Mishum oil. Lo sharin isur daraisa came in lo tzarach l'midi. So what does this imply? Right. So now, really, what you see is that this the question of chilagasa comes down to the other question we asked before, which is, do you actually have to force yourself to eat? Right. Magen Avraham Rivash says you don't have to force yourself to eat. So therefore, you can't prove anything about whether you're allowed to cook to overeat. But according to Rashi and the way the Mutzal Me'esh takes it, when we say you have to cook on Yom Tov with the time to eat, it means you actually have to eat it. But the assumption is you're already full. But that tells me that Hakamon Shema Ani says Asmova overall daita lechol afshikpar alchav v'savelev nein chashiva shapir achila, which implies that even if you overeat, or you ate once you're already full, it counts as achila. Ushma mina achila gasa chashiva achila linyanze, which tells you that achila gasa for these purposes is achila. So what Rav Avadya notes is you have two possibilities here, right? So again, if you go to our Mishnah, if you think that our Mishnah tells you you actually need to eat the gazayas, and you understand like Shulchan Aruch that the case is you're already full, right? So therefore it's a case of achila gasa. You learn two things. One is that When the Mishnah says you need time to eat, it means you actually need to eat. Two is that the fact that you're actually going to eat, and that counts, even though you're already full, tells you that gluttonous overeating counts as achila for the purposes of achila ochel nevesh on Yom Tov. Now, if you paskin like the Rivash and the Magen Avraham, that you don't actually have to eat, you can't prove anything, because you don't actually have to eat. If you're not actually eating, so you're not actually overeating either. But Rav Ovadia says, okay, but if I take the second pshat, the first pshat that he just said, then even though achila gasa isn't normally eating, still, for ochel nefesh, it counts. Because what's the implication? At first glance, what you would assume is, what this teaches us that, ochel nefesh and yom tov doesn't require formal eating. It just needs ingestion. I don't care whether you formally call it eating, you do, you don't, for other places in Shas. When we say ochel nefesh, what we mean is, if you're cooking to ingest the food, then that counts. It doesn't matter, formal, not formal eating. So that's his first attempt. But then he says that might not be true, because Tosfos, as we mentioned before, has two types of ochel nefesh. Of achila gasa. Some which counts as achila and some which doesn't. He says, ulam yesh liyashiv api divrei Tosfos psachim. Aha darmin nadu nam rabbi psachim samach leminchol yochol adam ad shetechsha. Chaynu mincha ktana. Tosfos says, right, that which you aren't allowed to eat right before Yom Tov, mishum achilas matzahi, because you want to eat matzah. We want you to eat matzah, not full. The cause of atosos, klomar vein achila. Why is that a problem? Because if you're too full, then eating doesn't count. Kedamrin biyoma. Ochel achila gas miyamaki purim patur. Vikasha. The amrin the nazir gav achilas apesach. Zesh ochel achilas gasa. Nemar alavu poshim vikashlo bam. The Gemara Nazir, on the other hand, says that if you eat carbon pesach when you're already full, you shouldn't, but if you do, you're a sinner, but you fulfill the mitzvah. Uparech, rasha, karislei. And the Gemara says, are you a rasha? Nihid lovid mitzvah min amufchar. You may not have done the best mitzvah, but Pesach miya kavid. But you did fulfill the mitzvah Pesach. So you have one Gemara that says if you're stuffed and you eat matzah, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. The other Gemara says, if you're stuffed and you eat Karban Pesach, you do fulfill your mitzvah. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that some of the Rishonim try to get into the possibility that eating Kudshim, or at least eating Pesach, isn't about a Maase Achila, it's about a Totsah of Achila, it's not about an act of eating, it's about it being eaten. Rabbin, whatever, share for another time. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Trei Gavne Achila Gasa Ika. Rabbeinu Tam gives the easy answer. There are two levels of gluttony. The point where it's disgusting, that's not eating, that you could eat on Yom Kippur wouldn't count. Sometimes, why is it gluttonous? Because you're full. You don't want to eat more. We all know this, right? You're full, and then someone brings that dessert, and even though you're full, you eat it, right? You don't need it, but you want it. He said that you shouldn't be a glutton, but if you do it, it's achila.
Or is it everyday type of thing that you're eating too much anyways, and you shouldn't be eating so much, and therefore?
And that's in general, you know, that may in general be true.
Achilas gasa in general.
Then it could be. So now, according to this, he just says, "Well, it could depend. It could be that if you're full, but you could still enjoy the food, you shouldn't do it because it's gluttonous. But if you do, that's motor on Yom Tov, because that's called achila. But if you're so stuffed that anything you eat, you're going to vomit it up, right? Just beyond, right? You're beyond stuffed, so that's not eating anymore, so that you couldn't do. And maybe the mutzah me'esh is suffering specifically at the second level. So should
level of
achila gasa, right?
Which is
when you discuss when you would vomit already. It's beyond. Should reiti we should call Eliyahu shehevi divrei harav mutzumeishan al v'tamala misug the psachem and al the muchlam and is leho myri banes is asma ve'ochel dohavi achila gasa. The call Eliyahu is not true. Achila gasa clearly does count. The chashiva shaper achila inyan ochel nevesh biyom tov. And then he says, "Ve'ein lahak shem adar min biyom sha'ochal chilgatzim im kippurim potter." Don't tell me that on Yom Kippur, that when I eat on Yom Kippur, I'm exempt. She'esh lomer shinin onesh lo chashiva achila. And now he comes to it. He says, "Maybe because for punishment you need a kizayis mishum diyusuv daita tali rachmana, because on Yom Kippur you're only chayev when you feel there's a level of satiation. Avahana kol du islay. But even if you eat a little bit, it counts as." Hana, it counts achila, you did eat. V'kashal chiluko miyom ha-kippurim. But he says, I don't like this. Rabbi Avadi himself says, I don't like his distinction. Lo chol nevesh b'yom tov. Sharei mevur b'yavama o'shigam le'inyan mitzvahs achila b'karbonos achila gasa lo shmei achila dechsev mitzvahs tochol makom kodesh. Right, so he says, then he goes on, so you see it's more expansive than just Yom Kippur. And then, okay, let's skip to the next paragraph. So in this paragraph, what he notes is that there are some, right, the parallel question, achila gasa, which is not always achila. So he says, there are some achronim who say, look, Yom Tov, rather, Ochel Nevesh doesn't require a formal act of eating. It just needs ingestion. Therefore, achila gasa, you want to eat to overcook. You want to cook to overeat? Yeah, I got that right that time. You're going to cook to overeat? So the Kol Eliyahu says, look, Yom Kippur, Isurim, sure, you need a formal amount of eating. For Yom Tov, you just need to eat. You need to ingest, you need to taste. And therefore, you don't need a kezayis. The Mutzel Me'esh says, no, by Chilagasa, right, you want to overeat? That's not called eating. You need eating. And therefore, it doesn't count. And Rav Avadia says, once I'm talking about achila gasa, now let's get to our question of kezayis. Uvioti bezen istapakti mutal lishchor ulevash lechatchila bepachod mikezayis. Kigon letzorach katan. Odilma kevin dechsev asher yeochel ochel nefesh binin shir achila dayna kezayis. You can ask the same question. Is ochel nefesh eating, formal eating or not? So he notes that there are many who think you need an actual kezayis. Or that's the simple read of our Mishnah. Let's skip around here.
Just a side question here. How does he define the malacha of Yom Tov? Is he of the opinion that it's being deferred, or the opinion
right?
That
so you could deferred? So you could have said right. You're right. You could have said that this question. I didn't want to get into that yet. So let's hold it for a minute. Right. Right. Right now, I'm framing this all from the vantage point of is it or is it not achila? Right. Hold the thought for a second, right? We'll come back to that in just a minute. So Rav Avadia then says, well, maybe it's Machlokes, the Rambam and the others. Okay, I'm not going to read inside, but he says, the Rambam, he notes, the Ra'im says in general that in most places in the Torah, Achila is even less than a Kezayis. Right? Kezayis is the exception. Right? What? Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi. Right? So 15th century.
Why is he Ra'im? Isn't it Ram?
What? He's generally called the Ra'im.
Yeah?
I don't know. Ram?
That was his Ram.
Okay. Could be. I don't know if there's a right way to do it. I don't know. Others say no. Less than a kezayis is not an eating at all. Now he does some fancy lumdos. I'm going to say it outside. Right? Then he gives a third possibility. Right? So one possibility, he says, is that ochel nef, that this hangs on the question of whether or not Ochel Nefesh requires formal eating. Second possibility is it hangs on the question of whether less than a kezayis counts as eating or it's not eating at all. But then he said there's really a third possibility, which is maybe there are Rishonim who say, Achronim who say, Mishnah Melech suggests that it depends on whether the Torah says Yochal as an active verb or Ye'achel as a passive verb. Because whenever it says yochal as a passive, as an active verb, it implies that what I'm doing is an act of formal eating. That requires kezayis. But whenever the pasuk says ye'achel, it shall be eaten, it's not action-oriented, it's result-oriented. And therefore, it may be that there's no act of eating, but the thing was ingested. It was ye'achel. Right? If 100 people have less than a kezayis, in the end of the day, the thing will be consumed. Right? No one may have actually eaten it, but it is now eaten. Right? try to figure out that conundrum there. But Rav Ovadia says, third possibility is that, well, think about the pasuk. It doesn't say yochal. It says achasher yeochel lechol nefesh hu levado yasa lechem. If it's going to be eaten. And once the Mishnah Melech says, and whenever it's passive, it doesn't need a kezias because it's about the result, right? That it gets ingested, not that any one person did something that you could point to and say, that is achila. So then maybe ochel nefesh wouldn't need a kezias because it doesn't need a formal act of achila. So that's his three possibilities. So what you get from this so far is, right, just to summarize it, right? Point one is, do you actually have to eat the kezias or not? So that hangs on whether you think Hoel is Doraisa Dorabanan, probably. The Rivash says it's Dorabanan. Hoel works Doraisa, and therefore not cooking in Yom Tov when Hoel exists is only Dorabanan. And therefore he says you don't actually have to eat it. You don't have to eat it at all. It's all a harama. And that's in the Magen Avraham Paskins. Rashi, Mutzal Me'esh, say no. Hoel is presumably Doraisa. And when it says you need to have time to eat, it means you actually need to eat it. Point one. That leads to question two, which is, the guy's already full. He's overeating. Overeating normally doesn't count as eating. So, if overeating isn't eating, does that count on Yom Tov? So, a few possibilities, I don't know how many. We'll go through them. One is that overeating really is eating, it's just that for certain contexts in halacha, it isn't eating. And therefore, overeating on Yom Tov, you're still allowed to cook. You want to overeat, you're allowed to cook. Possibility two, mutzah ma'esh, no. Overeating, achila gasa, isn't called eating. Ochel nefesh requires eating. You can't cook to overeat on Yom Tov. Possibility three is that there's two levels of overeating, right? Overeating where you're just not hungry anymore is eating and that you're allowed to cook for. Overeating where it's disgusting, that's not called eating at all, you can't. That brings us back to our original question, which is, what about less than a kezias? So again, it seems to hang on the question, possibility one, is less than a kezias eating or not? Right? Is it that it's eating but not enough? Or is it that it's not eating? If it's not eating, so then you shouldn't be allowed to do it, you shouldn't be allowed to cook it on Yom Tov. If you think it's eating but it's not enough, so that's only for Malchus and things like that, or Karban Pesach or Matzah, but for Ochel Nefesh, it'll be enough because at the end of the day, you're ingesting the food. Possibility one. Possibility two is no. Kezias is only necessary when you need a ma'ase achila. You need to eat a kezias. But as the Mishnah Lamech says, whenever it says it passively, ye achel, you might not need one person to eat it. It just needs to be that it's consumed. And you are consuming. Even if you're not eating, you're consuming. Right? Let's make false distinctions here. But fine. That's possibility two. Possibility three is what Howie said. Is maybe all of this discussion is irrelevant. Right? Everyone here so far has assumed that what does it depend on when we say, are you allowed to have, are you allowed to cook to overeat? Or are you allowed to cook to have a kezias? Everyone has said, what does it hang on? It hangs on, do you need a formal act of achila or not? Or is this a formal act of achila or not? There's another possibility, which is, as we've said 100 times, with Yom Tov, what is Ochel Nefesh tell you? Is Ochel Nefesh hutra or dechuya, essentially, or more? Right? Is it that Ochel Nefesh tells me that cooking is just mutter? Right? If cooking is just mutter, so then I don't need to justify myself, right? I don't need to tell me it's formal eating, not formal eating, right? Once I'm cooking food, I'm cooking food, right? It's not a malacha. So what are you giving me a headache? Formal eating, not formal eating. It's hutra, it's lo nemra, it's not one of the malachos. So maybe all of these limitations only even come into play if you assume that ochel nefesh is dechuya, that it exists and we just hold it in abeyance. Because if you think that the issur of cooking...
How else would you learn the Mishnah?
Yeah, what's the Mishnah telling
us? Yeah. How else would you learn the Mishnah?
Oh, so what else would... So how would you get out of that? So you'd get out of it like this. And this is...
Razzle-dazzle?
No, not razzle-dazzle at all. I think actually the opposite. It's what I would call a very balabatir svara.
Okay.
Right? Is, even if you say that ochel nefesh tells you that cooking food, right, to eat is not a malach at all. Right, what the Mishnah is telling you is, yeah, that's very nice, but if you're not eating it, right? What hutra, right? It's not cooking if it's not for food. It's just, what are you doing, right? You're just heating something up, right? That's not, cooking is mutter, right? Cooking means you're preparing food,
but right? You're doing this because you're trying to save money.
Yeah, or whatever, that's not called cooking, right? Le Sabre d'Oz, and we'll end with this, and we'll do the other smaller ones next week, is Pikuach Nefesh, right? All the poskim ask is Pikuach Nefesh, Hutra Dechuya. Oh my God, right? As many people point out, Rav Lichtenstein pointed this out, Rav Asher Weiss pointed this out, some poskim want to say that what hangs on this shaila, what hangs on this shaila is, do you need to do a shinui? Do you need to do it with a shinui? But they say, what are you talking about? Look, how often is this going to come up? If by doing it with a shinui, you're going to risk the guy's life, so then hutra dechuya, who cares, right? The fact is, you need to save the guy's life. If you could do it with a shinui and it won't hurt him at all, so then who cares, hutra dechuya? It means that at the moment his life isn't in danger, right? Meaning, by pikuach nefesh, before we get to hutra dechuya, there's a much more basic question. Is his life in danger if you don't do this act, right? 90% of the time, the answer to that question will determine how you have to do this, right? Meaning, do you have to walk the guy to the hospital or drive him, right? That doesn't hang on hutra dechuya. That hangs on the question, if you walk, will that risk his life? If, right, it's someone who's having a baby and you're one block from the hospital, right, and you're in early stages of labor. So in a chanami, once someone is in labor, right, at a certain stage of labor, it's pikuach nefesh. But walking will take you less time than driving and trying to park, right? So are you going to tell me it's hutra, you're allowed to drive to the hospital, which is going to take you 20 minutes to drive and it's going to take you 5 minutes to walk, right? Who would tell you, oh, it's hutra, you're allowed to drive? No, of course you're not allowed to drive, because walking will save the person's life as well as driving will. Right? Sometimes you just need to, you know, that's what Rav Asher says, right? Sometimes you need to balabatish it, right? Leave out the hutra dechuya, just say, by mikuach nefesh, before you get to the formal questions, the question you have to ask is the guy's life in danger if you don't do this act? If it isn't, it's not called pikuach nefesh, even though the person is in a dangerous situation. Right? If what you're doing is totally irrelevant, then it's not pikuach nefesh. Here I would say the same thing. Even if you say hutra, right? What's hutra? Cooking to prepare food, preparing food. The Mishnah is saying it's very good. Hutra. Hutra is very nice if what you're doing is preparing food. But if it's 8 seconds before Yontif, you're preparing food for after Yontif. That's not mutter, right? How that's not mutter, we already talked about. But that's not what's... That wasn't the thing that was suspended. So that's what I would say here. Okay. What we'll do next week is even lighter. This is relatively light compared to last week, but not totally light. Next week, I put... What? Relative. Look, next week, you can see on the Makaras, half of it is what is... The Gemara on the next top of the page says the Jews are azim, right? The Jews are brazen. I put, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a mixed thing? What does it mean we're brazen? Right? You know... I thought I'd get to that this week, but I didn't. But that's 12 through 15. What?
According to whom?
Well, it's machlok. It's Rashi Maritzchias. We'll see.
You don't need that. According to God or according to the Jews?
Oh, yeah.